wrapping up KER politics right now, and we're going to go expand from a domestic level to an international level. A lot of things going on in China, obviously. We're going to chat a little bit about them. The same thing is true with Ukraine. And the same thing, believe it or not, is true in South America with Peru and Brazil. Jimmy, let's talk about Peru first, the impeachment of the president.
That's right. So the Peruvian president, Pedro Castillo, this last week, he's been under pressure. He's a leftist. He's a progressive socialist, former teacher.
Right.
And basically, he attempted, after I think the third attempt for an impeachment trial, where he had some support. They had failed in the past. But he attempted to dissolve their parliament. And, of course, their constitution gives some authority to do that. However, what happened a couple hours later was he lost all support, almost all support, in the Peruvian legislature. And they voted 101-6 with 10 abstentions to impeach him. And then they had the military arrest him. So he's being held right now for prosecution for conspiracy and rebellion because of his attempts to do that. And because he'd been under the impeachment threat for a while because of some corruption charges and, of course, you know, mishandling of the government.
Yeah.
This is not new to Peru. There's, I think, been in the last 6 years, there's been about six different presidents. He's right now, he'd been working earlier this, you know, today and yesterday with the Mexican foreign minister asking for asylum. And that'll be interesting to see how that turns out on the fact that he wouldn't get a fair trial in Peru.
Sound like they're pretty opinionated as a nation about this guy. And yeah, it's all negative, man.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
So the vice president, Dina Boluarte, she's the now sitting president.
Yeah.
Don't know if she's going to call for an early election or if she'll stay through the, I think, a 2026 is the next normal election for them. But basically, this is very problematic for Peru. Is it going to have a big problem, you know, impact others? Peruvians have a relationship. You know, they've got there's been some challenges in the region. They've got, you know, again, a relationship with other socialist nations. They've cut deals with China. They've cut deals with Venezuela, Bolivia, some of the other more leftist areas. So we'll see what happens. And that, of course, spills over into what happened with Bolsonaro and Lula da Silva, the election in Brazil, where Lula da Silva, he was arrested and charged by a court, 19 judges, of corruption and sentenced to prison. But then his own appointed judges overturned that and allowed him to run in this election.
Yeah.
So then Bolsonaro, the incumbent, lost in a questionable election. But the problem is there's been massive protests all through November about the outcome of that election. And we haven't seen the end of that. So what it is, this conflict that is bearing itself out in the United States, in Europe, in China, back to almost Cold War era of left versus right, socialism versus conservatism and, you know, independence. There's some nuanced changes, clearly, but we're back to a very destabilized period in public politics right now around the world.
All over the world. Speaking of all over the world, Jimmy, let's head a little southeast from Peru. Got a whole bunch of really, what I would have to say, tumultuous events going on in Brazil. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. So again, as we did talk about it, there with the protests, they're massive. They've been massive all through November. The Silva government is now beginning to appoint its cabinet. There is the potential, and before he is sworn in, there is the potential for a military intervention. The military, and there is some legal precedent because of the fact that Lula or da Silva had these previous convictions, he would not be allowed to run for president again if they were upheld. Of course, they were thrown out by his own appointees. The military is the deciding factor in the Brazilian constitution, so there is a possibility that we could see some destabilization there.
Yeah. Okay, over to China. A lot of eyes are focused on China right now, and that's going to continue to be the case. They are the country, in my opinion. It is the country, in my opinion, that could assume the number one position in the world in terms of economic and military strength. What's
Well,
going
and if
on
they're
there,
not,
Jim?
if they're not put in check, they will. They will
Yeah,
within the next
exactly.
decade, probably.
Yeah.
A lot of analysts, and I worked with them and the people that are responsible in the U.S. Pacific, Indo-Pacific Command,
Yeah.
the China division there, which has, a lot of people that look at this, a lot of PhDs, a lot of thinking people, and they're basically responsible for the military view. They've been surprised at how quickly the Chinese have grown militarily.
You bet.
What's happened, though, the last week is that the protests over the zero tolerance, zero COVID tolerance policy had exploded to the point where the Chinese government had to balk for a little bit to allow people a little more freedom and not be forced in these hundred, in these massive zero lockdowns.
Did that surprise you, Jim? It surprised me a lot because the government of China really, really is very, very intent on being authoritarian. But there were some mistakes that were made in terms of the lockdown. People actually died because of that.
Well, and of course, it's very questionable whether any of these, as we get more and more information,
Yeah.
whether any of these procedures or policies were actually effective. And it looks like, according to the deposition by Anthony Fauci,
Yeah.
that they actually looked at China as a precedent-setting policymaker for the U.S., and it turns out that that has been incredibly damaging. So China, they were under pressure. I agree with you, Al, that they, in fact, probably, are very focused on control,
Yeah.
but this was becoming such a problem so rapidly, and of course, there's economic implications as well. They had to back off. But again, this is only for the public eye. You don't really know what's happening underneath with the Chinese government and the
No, you
CCP.
don't.
They still have control. They will
Yeah.
still control people through social media, through social credit scores, through these tech apps that track every individual. And they will use their authorities, their law enforcement, and their military as a tool to silence opposition and to shut people down. Though publicly, they'll make other positions. So that's what we're seeing right now in China. And of course, you've always got the problem with what they've done with Hong Kong to silence
Sure.
individuals in opposition and the threats against Taiwan.
Well, we haven't seen that. We haven't seen the end of China for a long time. I mean, Taiwan is a situation that is guaranteed to come up here in the relatively near future. And I think on top of Taiwan, you can get a similar situation occurring in Hong Kong.
Let's talk our
Ukraine, we have a lot of listeners who would like comments on the weekend radio show. Regarding Ukraine, not looking good over there for the Russians, that's for sure.
Yeah, so this week, the interesting things that happened, the Ukrainians hit three deep strike Russian airfields, one
Yeah.
in Crimea and one near Moscow, and another one in very far from the Ukrainian borders. Of course, the Russians used massive retaliatory strikes to hit back at the Ukrainians, attempting to hit their infrastructure, shut down power plant, water plants, basically attacking the population. Now, as the England, people in London knew from the Blitzkrieg, that didn't stop them and make them any weaker. It actually strengthened their resolve.
You bet.
Same thing happened in Nazi Germany in 1945 with the massive strikes, 1944, 1945. Strategic bombing campaigns did not effectively diminish capacity for the population. I don't see that's going to happen. And the Russians have a very serious problem. The First Guards Tank Army out of Moscow had tremendous losses. The Fourth Guards Tank Army having heavy, heavy losses. They're going to have a tough time repositioning and putting themselves in a position to actually have control over Ukrainian territory over the next few months.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right on that one. You guys, we're up to 9 minutes and 37 seconds. We're going to have to cut it here within. We can't go over 10 minutes on this particular segment. Again, I want to invite everyone who's listening on the radio to come to our blog, www.kereport.com. And then when you're there, just click on politics. Have a great weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.